I want to say one thing. They were talking about Winston. The first Robin I raised was Robbie. And one day, I was too lazy to go out and dig fishworms, and the ground was too darn dry anyway. So I would buy the best hamburger at Rogers I could get and feed them little pieces of hamburger about that long. And I did have some of my robins die, and the veterinarian said because I fed them too well, it crowded their heart. So I learned that. But one day, Robbie was full grown, and my pastor, Pfeiffer, came over. And we were sitting in the backyard having a Pepsi. And I had just finished feeding Robbie. Did I do something wrong, or is it...
Keeping track of how much you're making from these plugs.
I had just finished feeding Robbie, and he flew up to a big oak tree about a block away. And I knew that in about 20 minutes, he'd come right back down and land on my shoulder and want more hamburger. So Pastor Pfeiffer and I were sitting there. And he said, you know, my people in church tell me these birds really love you. I said, do they love you that much? I said, oh, yeah. He said, well, these people talk like these robins worship you around here. I said, well, they like me. And pretty soon, the big fat robin, who was full grown then, no longer a speckled breast, flew right down and lit on my shoulder and started chewing my ear. And Pastor Pfeiffer looked over at me and says, my God, they do love you. So that was the story of Robbie anyway.
All right, I got to tell you how Winston really died. He said it was a natural death. Bob was so proud of that albino robin that he got him in a cage and he took him out and he met Jay at one of Jay's favorite watering holes on the north side of town, took it in there, and Jay was sitting there and he put it on the table and he says, Jay, what do you think of this? And Jay said, how the hell did that get in here? Oh, that was the end of Winston, all right. The next couple of special guests we have on the dais, and we're going to have a little two-part deal here, if you will, but if you'll watch the screen, you're going to see some folks that you will recognize, and appropriately, I hope, welcome here. Hey! Our program is recorded. Sam and Nancy DeVincent, of course, veteran WoWo and national radio broadcasters for that matter. Nancy Lee and the Hilltopper still active on the Sunday Little Red Barn program. And I'll tell you, the mail on that program, mail from many, many different states. And they're one of the few live studio music programs left in the nation. Sam and Nancy.
Yeah.
So glad you came, Bob.
Well, I don't know.
We can almost hear Jay Gould looking down or looking up. Hope he's saying, you done good, kids. Long before Bob Sievers became a great personality on the radio, Bob's real ambition was to be a country music vocalist, making records in Nashville. And as a music collector, I have one of the rare 45s made around 1933, or it's an old 78 rather, of Bob Sievers, his first recording. And when you hear it, you're going to say, thank God he went into radio. Listen.
A problem, it's about to get me down. Every time I try to sing, I feel like a clown. They say I used to sing like a bird, unquote. But lately something strange is happening to my throat. Cause my voice keeps breaking, you see.
Yes, my voice is
changing on me. Oh, I feel like a fool, and my life is a wreck. direct, 'cause my voice keeps changing on me, for me, for me. They had a show at school yesterday, and I got up to sing and play. There was a girl that I thought I could snow, when she heard me sing on the amateur show. But my voice kept changing on me, slipping and sliding on me. Now I can't show my face, and my life's a disgrace, 'cause my voice keeps changing on me.
Good stuff, Bob.
Thanks a lot.
And now the other side of Bob Sievers. Bob is a man of renowned reputation, but better still, he truly is a man of great character. I'm going to have my young bride, Nancy, start.
I was just thinking, we're the oldest teenagers here tonight,
right,
aren't we, Sam?
Proud of it.
The circumstances amid which you live determine your reputation. The truth you believe determines your character.
Reputation is what you are supposed to be. Character is what you are. Reputation comes over one from without. Character comes up from within.
Reputation is what you have when you come into a new community. Character is what you have when you go away.
Reputation grows like the mushroom. Character grows like the oak. Reputation goes like the mushroom. Character lasts like eternity.
A single newspaper report gives you a reputation.
A life of toil gives you character.
If you want to get a position, you need a reputation.
Yeah, and if you want to keep it, you need character.
Reputation is what men say on your tombstone.
Character is what the angels say before the throne of God.
Reputation is the basis of the temporal judgment of men.
Character is the basis of the eternal judgment of God. And I venture to say, when Bob Sievers dies, even the undertaker will be sorry.
We love you, Bob, and God bless you.
Thanks.
Real good.
Thanks, man.
You're welcome.
Another video coming up now, and this is another guy you'll remember, and he and his wife wish they could have been here, but their schedule just wouldn't do it. You see, contrary to you guys, they have to make some money. Stu Collins, former afternoon personality on WoWo, and Stu left us to go to KING in Seattle, King Radio, then to WIND and WFYR, Fire in Chicago. And Stu now heads up his own production firm in Chicago, and he's got this for us. Stu Collins.
Here I am, former WoWo alumni, or is that alumnus? I used to work at WoWo many years ago. I'm Stu Collins. Good evening. Welcome to the Bob Sievers Roast. Bob, well, you know more about Bob than I do, probably, because you're still with him on the premises there. Bob, the legend in WoWo land, great air personality, great husband and father, world traveler. That reminds me, Bob would take a lot of trips with Harriet and the tour groups and go overseas. He went to Rome one year, met the Pope, and visited the College of Cardinals, and he brought some back with him from the trip, College of Cardinals. Thank you, Bob. I appreciate that. And I'll never forget when he took his first trip to Mexico. He brought me back a souvenir from that, too. And I have that. As you can see, you can't go through Mexico, or even when you get back from Mexico, without a lot of this. Believe me. Thank you, Bob. Bob, of course, a radio legend. Got to start a long time ago at WoWo as a youngster. And I happen to have a copy of the first song he played, given to him by Thomas Alva Edison. This was the first song that Bob ever played. wish I had something to play it on. It's really tough to hear. First of all, I want to thank Dugan Fryer for giving me the chance to say something about Bob. Bob is a legend. He's been an inspiration for me. He's taught me hard work, how to get by with little or no sleep. when God made Bob, they threw away the Petri dish, that's for sure. Bob's in love with his wife, Harriet, of course, his work, his hobbies, life itself. And I can sum up Bob's philosophy in two words, double Manhattan. I think you know what I'm talking about. Bob's been an inspiration for me. Many times when I couldn't get a job done, Bob would do it. And as Jack Underwood always told me, Seavers will do anything for a buck, and believe me, he has. He enjoys his hobbies now, ham radio, photography, and his wife, lovely wife Harriet, who's a great lady. And Bob's gotten generous in his old age. He lets Harriet buy all her designer clothes now at Jack Surplus City, Portland, Bluffton, and Salina, of course. Well, Bob, enjoy your evening. Don't fall asleep in the dessert. I know how tiring these things can be. As you can see, I can't be here. Margaret and I can't be here. I have this business to run, and we're raking in tens of dollars up here, and so you can appreciate the fact that I can't get away. So I'll leave you with our best wishes, Bob, and you too, Harriet, and everybody in Wo-Wo Land. Remember, Bob, as long as I have a car, you have a back seat to fall asleep in. I think I'm ready for a nap too. Love you, Bob. Squeeze Harriet, and enjoy your evening tonight.
Stu Collins. Next gentleman to pay a tribute to Bob is another former Wo-Wo personality. And this guy got smart and got a real job. Very talented member of the Wo-Wo Top Cats that you'll remember from years back. And now is an executive with General Telephone, Doug Stevens.
Thank you, Dugan.
Bob.
Good to see you. Good to see
you.
You wonder how Bob lasted over 50 years in radio when you hear all these stories tonight and all the problems we had. There were a couple I haven't heard yet that I remember. Were you really the one who read the car commercial for Hefner Chevrolet Shitty?
I said that.
And I think you also were the same one who, while reading a furniture store commercial, told everyone about the sale on all the tables. The end tables, the coffee tables, the cock tables. He blamed that one on the copywriter. There are a couple of other people who should take their shots tonight, and we've worked together for a while. Chris, you were here once. Will you stand up for just a second? Young Chris Roberts, you're seeing history in the making. Chris Roberts without his blue jeans. What time's the suit due back at the store?
Actually, you...
the last one left in the store. Bob Chase, you saw earlier. Bob Chase is really a perfect radio name. And there's a reason for it. That's not his real name. That's his radio name. His real name is Hilliard Gates. I have one Bob Seavers story I have to tell because Bob tells it on himself. He was called and asked to speak at the annual meeting of a church. The only problem was the church didn't have any money. And, of course, soft-hearted Bob couldn't turn them down. He said, of course, I'll come and speak at your annual meeting. And during the annual meeting, the treasurer got up and gave the usual treasurer's report. And as she closed the report, she said, by the way, the church treasury has $50 we don't know what to do with. And Bob says, at that point, I was about ready to raise my hand and say, I suggest we give it to the speaker for the evening. That happened. Bob, they say that you only pick on the people that you love. And as we all pick on you tonight, you know why. An awful lot of love for you, Bob. You're a great guy.
Well, we've said before, and we really mean it, it was a sad day when he left radio because Doug did an excellent job, Doug Gruber Stevens, and, well, good luck in the telephone business anyway. He takes care of us there. Bob, I'll tell you what, and folks, you'll see behind us a couple of banners here. Bob, of course, part of his life, very much involved in the Lions Clubs and the work within those clubs, and his own Foster Park Lions Club represented here, and the Central Lions Club, and a representative from the Lions. If you would just stand up quickly. We got some around the area here, and they're paying tribute to Sam also tonight. You betcha. But the primary reason I mention that, Bob, is because, of course, you always took care of the lost dogs and taught me to do that. And the Lions, now the Lions members brought this announcement. They want you to use it the next time you fill in for me. And let me read it verbatim, well, almost verbatim. This is a lost dog, and if you can see, it's winking. Three legs, blind in the left eye, missing right ear, tail broken, recently neutered, answers to the name Lucky. As he would say, my own Foster Park Lions Club, with the help from the Central guys, took care of him on that one.
I'm going to keep that. That's good.
Next person as a graduate of WoWo is a person that we are also very proud of. Diminutive, but certainly very, very capable on the air. And all of us knew it when she first came to WoWo. And since that time, and this is true also, many times we have run across folks from Ohio University down in Athens, Ohio, and one of the first questions that those folks will say when they know you're from WoWo, do you know Carol Ford? Well, yes, we do, and we're proud to say it. Carol formerly associated with WoWo and then left to go with KYA in San Francisco, and correct me if I'm wrong, Carol, but one of the first women to be a prime host of a morning drive show in a major city when she was with WDMT in Cleveland. And Carol, now a morning drive personality in New York with WRKS, Carol Ford.
Carol, it's good to see you.
Let her talk, Bob.
This guy.
He doesn't remember any of it.
Oh, Bob Sievers. I remember
a lot about him.
Yeah, I know. We won't discuss those, though, will we, Bob? Okay, those are the private tales of an all-night disc jockey, which was the shift that I did when I first came to WoWo in 1976. I was working 11 at night until 5 in the morning, and of course, Bob came on at 5 in the morning. Actually, it was 5 minutes to 5 o'clock in the morning. Bob taught me a lot of things when I first came to WoWo, showing me the ropes as a new person, a new kid on the block. And he said, so, don't worry about the program director. I've seen them come and go. There'll be a million of them. Don't listen to anything they say. They don't know what they're talking about. And I was like, oh, okay. Thanks, Bob. Okay, great. And the next person he warned me about was Jay Gould, because I saw him shuffling, coming in for the Little Red Barn. He said, he's a bit of a curmudgeon. Don't pay too much attention to Jay, which I really appreciated, because later on that year, I had the chance to go to a WoWo Air Aces game, which I didn't get to do very often because, of course, I had to be on the air at 11 o'clock, and these functions always happened in the evening. But this one happened to be in Fort Wayne, and I believe Ron Gregory was with us and Ken Moore, who had preceded me in the all-night shift. They feed you after the games in Fort Wayne, and we were all sitting around eating, going for seconds. Ron and I were going for seconds, and Jay said, bring me back some more of that peach cobbler, little girl. I said, okay, will do. He went up to the line. There was no peach cobbler. It was real embarrassed. So I got an apple pie. I come back and I said, I'm sorry, Jay. They ran out of peach cobbler. Here's an apple pie. And he looks at the apple pie. He looks at me. He looks at the apple pie. And then he says, every morning I wake up and thank the Lord I didn't marry Carol Ford. Which would have shredded me if he hadn't warned me about it. And these little old ladies go, oh, how can he say that about that little girl? Isn't that awful? It's just terrible. And Ron and Ken and I were just dying laughing, which I probably would have gone into tears if Bob hadn't warned me, don't worry about Jay's. Okay. Bob taught me a lot of things. Actually, I had a lot to learn. This was my first commercial job. I had worked for National Public Radio before I came to WoWo, where there were no commercials, no regular programming. We just did what we wanted. And Bob taught me the importance of organization, and that is organizing his copy for the 5 o'clock news. Bob also taught me the importance of promptness. I was to be out of the studio by 5 minutes to 5. And I also had to give him at least 5-6 minutes to get situated in the studio. He even went so far as to suggest closing songs for me. Bridge Over Troubled Waters, which I believe was 5 minutes and 10 seconds. The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, which I believe was 6 minutes and 17 seconds. And I was always to put those on. He also taught me the importance of preparing for a program, preparing the list of police calls he was going to make. He also taught me strength, carrying all of his commercials and having them ready when he was ready to come in. Going so far as, I had never seen so many commercials, save, of course, Smokey's Record Shop, which is the only sponsor I ever had on the All Night Show. Thank you, Smokey. There were about seven of those spots an hour, but I didn't mind. It was great. So, but, right? But Seavers had for his 5 o'clock hour alone a stack from here on up to the ceiling of commercials he was supposed to play in the first hour. And I had to bring all those out, and sometimes the same spot would run twice in a single hour. And he taught me to take little pieces of paper and write the cart number down and stick it in between the carts so that I'll know that I have to play it again later in that spot.
You remembered that.
Vividly. As a matter of fact, I do that today. They sell morning drive in New York. Well, sales staff, I don't know what you're doing with all nights right now, but it's probably a good thing to look into. Bob also taught me to build character. Swallowing those dreadful cheeseburgers he'd bring me in at 4:30 in the morning from Powers, I believe it was. I have ulcers now, but that's not your fault. Not at all. But as it says on the back of your program there, he is truly indeed the nicest man in the world. And Bob Seavers, I love you.
Carol, thank
you. Oh, sit down. I just want to tell you one thing about Carol. Every morning about 10 minutes till 5 after I was all set up to hit the air, I say, well, Carol, I'm going to run to the bathroom and I'll be right back and take over. And she would always say, mention my name and you'll get a good seat. And I do want to say one thing more about Carol. She got her good looks from her father. He was a plastic surgeon.
Larry Kenny's right. He said, you notice he moved on this side. Larry's right. He talks about all his friends, and when these folks are on, he's over here saying, who are those people over there? I've never seen them. Next gentleman is, again, from the serious side over here. Dick Cott, long-respected Fort Wayne management consultant, also an agency person, community leader, retired recently as Concordia High School Development Director. And, Joe, we ought to hire this guy because when it comes to selling, I mean, he can sell a school, he can sell anything. He has long been associated with Bob Seavers, and as he told me, probably longer than they both would admit in terms of years, but certainly one of the youngest people I know, Dick Cott.
Man, it's really great to be up here with my congressman and all these great WOW personalities. Who should really be up here is my wife, Paula. She's the original WOW groupie. And I think the personality should know that she's just been recently a great grandmother. So that tells you something. The real reason I'm here is because I'm Bob Seavers' oldest friend. This is true and little known. And I'm also probably the oldest employee of the station. And this is true, too. I'll tell you a little bit about that. When I first met our honored guest here, he was already an established radio veteran. And that, my friends, was 49 years ago. The year was 1940. I was in college and was singing with a close harmony radio quartet called the Indiana Indigos. We opened and closed the 30-minute NBC network program originating out of the old WOW studios every Saturday. The other quartet members were people you know, Norm Carroll, Wiedenhofer, Jeannie Brown. Anybody remember those names?
Yep.
Lillian Lane Schweitzer, she went on with Claude Thornhill's orchestra. Everybody used stage names then, and we were backed up those days by the station studio band, which included Tommy Longsworth on the bass, Guy Fitzsimmons clarinet, Dick Albreth guitar, along with Norm and Jeannie on piano and vibes and organ. And, of course, Bob Seavers was the announcer on that show, which went out to the entire country. Now, radio was quite different at that time. It was long before tape and disc jockeys, even before Hilliard Gates, whose real name, incidentally, is Gudelski. And the real big radio stars were Jack Benny, Fred Allen, Amos and Annie, Ed Wynn, Eddie Cantor, and a fabulous weekly show called Your Hit Parade. Believe me, it's great to be back with all you guys. You know, Bob, your old sidekick of nearly a half century, Jay Gould, is one of the people up there listening tonight, and I'm sure he's laughing his head off with that old familiar chuckle of his and he's probably hoping that you'll pull a couple of your famous bloopers so he can tell all of his angel pals. And you already did, and he's probably already told them. And Dugan Fry, one of your other little Red Barn buddies, has said publicly that everything he is today, I read this in the write-up, he owes to you, Bob. And I'm not sure you should let this get around. I would like to tell you a little sidelight about Dugan here. He has two ambitions in life. One is to be the new Jay Gould. I read this in the write-up also. And the other is to be a state senator, either in Indiana or Florida. Well, Senator Dugan, let me tell you something. I knew Jay Gould. He was my friend. And, Senator, you are no Jay Gould. Now, back to you, Bob. Back to you, Bob. If somebody ever turns you in for all the strange and wonderful things you've done in your lifetime, you will absolutely hold more records in the Guinness Book than Elizabeth Taylor. But incidentally, compared to Taylor, you're really dull. After all these 70 years, you've had only one wife, and Harriet has had you all to herself, more or less. She's only had to share you with your beautiful mother, whom you visited every single day at 2 a.m. before you went to work, and with just a few of your hobbies, too, like those radio-controlled airplanes, your cameras and picture-taking, your 15 million slides that make up 1,000 travelogues, your ham radio in the basement, your Naval Reserve activities every week for 2,780 consecutive weeks, your 14,742 speaking engagements and public appearances, your hideaway up at the lake, and those several hundred thousand other friends of yours, including all the birds, squirrels, stray dogs, cats, and anything else in Northern County that walks. What more could any woman ask for, believe me? Harriet belongs in the Guinness Book, Rhett, too. Friends, how do you roast a guy as nice as Bob Seavers? He's comfortable as chestnuts roasting on a Yuletide fire. If you say something bad about him, he'll come up and lick you in the face with his tongue. If you happen to say something nice, he'll probably have his two favorite words, "Aw, shucks." Well, that's our Mr. Wo-Wo. Nobody else like him in the whole world. A very, very unique man, my friend, Bob Seavers.
Well, everybody up on the dais this evening has a favorite Bob Seavers story, and if you'll permit me, please, my favorite of all of them, having worked with Bob, early one morning, of course, I got there later than he did. I get in now when he used to, if you can follow that, up at 3:30 in the morning. And yes, Carol, there still is a 3:30 in the morning. And I've got Brian Walsh, a young guy over in the corner who's in and out of here trained to get all that stuff out for me. But nonetheless, I got in there late, and it was on a Saturday. And Bob said, "Dugan, this is true. I've got a problem." And I said, "Well, what is it, Bob?" And he said, "Well, I don't know how to tell you about this." But he said, "Truly," he said, "last night I was out speaking, and it was a ham and bean supper." And he says, "I don't know how to break this news to you, but if I ask you to leave the room this morning, will you please do it?" I said, "Okay, Bob." And I shortened the newscast down, and we were in and out of that studio. Come 9 o'clock in the morning, Bob says... This is true. Bob says, at 9 o'clock in the morning, Bob says, "Boy, am I sure glad I don't have to work until 10 this morning." He says, "Dugan, could you put my materials away if I leave early?" And I said, "Bob, believe me, I'll be glad to put your stuff away if you leave early." Well, I didn't hear what happened until Monday morning, and I came in and I said, "Bob, how did it go Saturday?" And he says, "Oh, Dugan," he says, "you aren't going to believe this." Saturday morning in that building, the Gaskins building, we have four stories, of course, in there, and there's nobody in that building. It's empty on Saturday. And so when Bob got on the elevator, you know, I mean, everything was fine then. But he failed to realize that the Women's Bureau had just moved into the building. They're on the second floor, and they were having a special meeting that morning. So Bob says, we got down to the lobby, and the doors opened up, and he said there were three women. And I said, "What did you tell him, Bob?" And he said, "Boy, are you ladies lucky that guy got off on the third floor." That's one of my favorite Bob Seaver stories. Ah. And there are others. If you give me $5, I'll tell you later. Oy. Next gentleman is a person that hasn't been gone from the station that long, but left a mark with a lot of us because Rob worked with the different eras, if you will, at WoWo. And he was still there when I went down to Florida and didn't make Senator down there. You're right, Dick. Maybe some year. But Rob then was here when I got back, and then shortly after that decided he wanted to get into the programming area as far as program managing and the like, and took off for Peoria and is doing an excellent job out there. Very versatile, former WoWo personality, and now a successful air person and program manager at WMBD in Peoria, Rob Westerby.
It is always good to see Bob because he really does not change. I think the picture of you up there with Sam and Nancy, I think you had as little on top as you do now. I think the reason that that they chose all of us up here is that we all saw Bob first thing in the morning. And a lot of the mornings when I was doing the all-night show, and it seems that's the requirement for all of us up here. Yeah, you'd say, good morning, Bob, how are you? It's 3:30 in the morning. He goes, oh, man. Oh, man. That was a great one. I could always count on Bob always being on time, which is something. Could you come to Peoria and be morning man there? My guy is a little late sometimes. Seriously, it was 2 weeks ago. I get a call from the FM disc jockey. He says, Rob, there's nothing on the air. And I am standing like Rumpelstiltskin in the middle of the night, getting my pants on, getting in the car, roaring down the road, and two blocks away, I hear my morning man come on and say, good morning. Rob, you can go back home. He was always reliable. I knew that if there was noise while I was talking on the air behind me, if there was noise, if there was shuffling, if there was some of this going on, Bob was setting up the morning show. I always could count on that. Well, I'm a program director now, and as Al Mitchell and some other people, like Chris Roberts, know, and as Chuck Bailey knows, program directors take a completely different point of view when it comes to radio stations and how they should be. I came to Peoria. I went to Peoria in 1984. I came to Fort Wayne in 1978, and the first thing I had to do was fill in for Bob Seavers in the morning. Now, in 1989, I can tell you this. Bob, you did it all wrong. Yeah. You did it all wrong. Always said, friends. Well, you know, in radio, you're supposed to be talking to one person at a time. Say you a lot. What's this friends stuff? Well, any program director who listens to Bob Seavers would tell him he's doing it wrong. You and I know he was doing it right because everybody who was listening was his friend. Absolutely. Everybody. Bob was never late, but of course, as you know, as the reason we're up here is he was never perfect. And I don't know how many of the WoWo staffers remember a young engineer named Mike Stein, who worked there for a couple of years during the time I was there, and the story went around like wildfire the morning that Bob was on the air and did the news, and he does not wear the sort of headphones that the rest of us disc jockeys wear that cover both ears. He and Jack Underwood always wore these little tiny earphones just in one ear. Well, that's not the perfect way. You did it wrong, Bob.
Yeah, but by the way, same thing. I'm only hard hearing in one ear now.
That's true. So he does his entire newscast, but something's wrong. Something is just dead. Something is very wrong. He can't quite determine what it is. It's about 20 minutes into the little red barn. He finally gets Mike Stein out of bed. Says, Mike, I don't know what it is, but I can't hear myself. Mike turns on the radio. Gosh, Bob, it's like Bob is hardly even there. What's wrong? Mike drives into the radio station like a bat out of hell, comes in, looks at the... What's wrong, Bob? Where is it? I don't know. Mike looks at the microphone, reaches over, and turns it around.
Oh, I remember that.
Remember that? I don't know if you have the same microphone still, but those microphones look the same one way or the other. But I believe the dark side was supposed to be pointing toward you. Yeah. I wanted one other WoWo personality learned a lesson from that and tried to catch me so many times, and he never did. There was a time I was on the air from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m., and Ron Gregory was on from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m., and I've never told this to you, Ron, but I know damn well that you turned that microphone around at least 20 times trying to get me. I know it. When I left Fort Wayne in 1984, Dugan Fry was on the air in the mornings on his own along with Dave Russell doing the farm show. But I noticed something. Coming back in 1989, I feel really out of touch. Because from what I can determine from listening to the radio, half of you people are the Good Morning team. There was one guy doing mornings at WOWO when I left. And there are six or seven of you now. 11 of you doing the Good Morning show. It shows you what it takes. You know, today, one of the world's most famous radio announcers retired, and he was replaced by one guy. He stood there with his hand over the Bible, and he was replaced by one guy. And I'm up here to tell you, well, it took a lot more to replace you, Bob.
Thanks, Rob. Again, a quick reminder, if you came in just a little late, this whole, what do we call this thing? It's being videotaped, whatever it is. And if you're interested in getting a copy of this, and Bob's retirement fund gets a little bit of everyone. See the cameraman. See the cameraman afterwards. They have order forms for you. Next guy, and as I said earlier with Bob Chase Bohr, we're glad he's back. Ron Gregory, who, my God, I think he was born. Weren't you born in one of the studios up there, really? I think so. But Ron's been there as long as a lot of us, and he's been there as long as, well, Chris Roberts has, and now Bob back, and I came back, because we like the place, and everybody up here, and there are some great success stories at this table. Every one of them, I think, that would tell you that they miss WoWo in one regard or another, except Larry. I'm not sure about him. But there's something about this radio station that's unique, and we're proud of it. Ron Gregory, another veteran WoWo pro, former radio station owner, as I was, and we both learned about that. And we're better for it, Ron. He's back with WoWo where he belongs as an air personality and current resident wild man at WoWo, Ron Gregory.
Hi, Bob. Good to see you too. Well, thank you. Before I really get started here tonight, I just want to say it is really, really terrific to be back at WoWo. We are in a major push right now in a resurgence at the great 1190, and I hope you're all enjoying it. It's great to be back, and it's we feel good about it. We're all very, very energetic, and we're putting in the time and the effort, and we're being supported from New York, and it's a good feeling, and it's good to be back. So thank you for that. Of course, the reason we're here tonight is to pay tribute to this great man, Bob Sievers. Well, enough about Bob. Let's talk about me. On the way over tonight, I was coming across the street in front of the Grand Wayne Center. And, of course, there's a notorious spot over there called the Thirsty Camel. And I see a guy stumbling out the front door right in front of me. I mean stumbling out, boom, right down in the street. So I go over and... a public personality. I'm supposed to be cooperative and helpful. I pick him up. I said, where do you live? I'll walk you home. He says, well, down in the West Central neighborhood. It's, I don't know, right next to Larry Wardlaw. It's about 16 blocks down there. I said, okay, fine. I help him down. Every 10 feet, this guy falls flat on his face. Every 10 feet. I finally get him up to his front door. His wife answers the door. She says, Herman. Then she looks at me. Who are you? I said, I'm just trying to help the guy. I said, he falls every 10 minutes. I'm trying to help him home. She looks around. She goes, well, where's his wheelchair?
That's true.
I'm just trying to be helpful. Jeez. Just the name Bob. Just the name Bob. Where do you know where that came from? My understanding is that it was a joke from your parents. You never learned how to swim. Is that basically? and they, well,
I think I've heard that one.
I said to Bob Severs once, I said, Bob, I want to live to be as long, live as long as you have. They really be as prosperous, as successful. What's the secret? He says, Ron, you've got to have sex every day. I said, Bob, I have it almost every day, almost Monday, almost Tuesday, almost Wednesday. Bob Severs actually passed away in 1953. No one up here has the heart to tell him. And everybody talks about this naval stuff. Hey, Bob, the naval, the Navy, the naval, the naval. So you went out with a belly dancer for 4 years. So what? It's amazing. Bob asked me once. Now, he thought he was always trying to top me on one-liners because he knew that I had that upbringing. I watched Three Stooges movies and Groucho Marx when I was growing up, and I always had an appreciation for jokes and one-liners. He says, Ron, do you know what's black and white and red all over? I said, yeah, I know that one. I learned that one in the third grade, a newspaper. He says, no, Ron, it's a skunk with a diaper rash. You remember that? He loves animals. He really does love animals. He's wanted in 15 states.
I can't believe
it. Thank you. Another one. If we only had a drummer here tonight. He saw me come in, yeah. And it's great to have Larry Kenny here from New York. Larry, right after the dinner tonight, is leaving on a well-deserved vacation to the Virgin Islands. And I know we all wish Larry good hunting. Thank you for that. And Rob Westerby from Peoria made the big trip from Peoria, Illinois. What a deal. What a deal. Rob Westerby, who did for broadcasting what George Armstrong Custer did for Army recruiting years ago. And I did turn it around. It was only 19 times, but I did turn it around. This is a great old trick. The only guy I know who can walk into an empty room and blend right in. He's a great guy. And Dugan Fry, I don't know, what can I say about Dugan, except that I put my glass of water down next to him, and the next thing I know, he put his teeth in it. And Carol Ford, really, it's great to see Carol Ford all the way here from New York. You know, Carol, in all these years, what are you looking at? What? I haven't said anything yet. In all these years, Carol, you're so talented, you're so brilliant on the air. You relate to the listeners. One, look at that look she's giving me. I've only worked with two females in broadcasting in all these years. And you were definitely right up there. The other one was Eva Braun. But you were right up there with her. And Carol, I have no idea how much money you make now. I know it's more than you made on the all-night show at WoWo. But this woman's using the Neiman Marcus catalog for toilet paper now. So congratulations. You deserve it, though. You really do. And Smokey Montgomery, what a guy. Now, I came in tonight. Somebody stopped me at the front door. They said, Ron, how are we going to know which one is Smokey? I said, look for two people talking. If one's yawning, he's the other one. You'll see. Sam and Nancy, great to see you here tonight. They are now, by the way, tonight they are celebrating their 42nd car payment. Good to see you here tonight, too. And, of course, Bob Chase is back with the radio station now. It's always good. Look at him laughing. It's always good to see Bob Chase. Although he can't spell. I get memos from him every day about this, that, and the other. He can't spell. This guy went to a warehouse once and spent $50. Yeah. Getting a collection here. And young Chris Roberts. Come on. Young Chris Roberts. We started the same. Remember, 1973, we both started the same year at WoWo Radio. Young Chris Roberts. I got diseases older than this guy. Come on. Anyway, I'm really glad. And Calvin Richards is here from Detroit. What a thrill to see you, Calvin. Mr. Don't call me Cal Richards. I'll never forget that. He warned me, and I paid attention. But it's great to see Calvin here tonight. I don't have to worry about my hubcaps for the next 15 minutes. And Bob Seavers, oh, man. I'm just going to tell you one real quick Bob Seavers story, because, Bob, really, all seriousness aside, it is really great to be... What are you looking at now? What is this? It's really great to be back with you again. Years ago, Bodie the janitor came up to me one night. He said, Ron? I said, yes, Bodie. This is not the night I was locked out on the world-famous fire escape, by the way. That was another night. Bodie says, I've got a very bad problem here at WoWo. I said, yeah, what is it? He says, bats. We've got bats in the building. And is this not true? Is this not true? It was the old building. It's not the building we're in now, thank God. The Gaskins building. We had bats in the building. Real bats. You know, these things that made Bela Lugosi look good. They're flying along. When you'd go down the hall for a drink of water, you'd have to duck. You remember that? If you're walking down the hall, whoa, there's another one. Oh, it's like the Luftwaffe all over again. All right. So Bodie comes in. He says, I'm going to get these things. I'm going to take care of this once and for all. Bodie brought in that night with a broom. He killed a bat and brought it in. The next morning, I swear this is a true story, the next morning I come in, go back to the music library, start sitting down and planning some stuff, and I see a sign. A sign is sitting on the desk. Signed by Bob Seavers. You know what it said? Two words. Bat food. I swear, bat food. He had crumbled up crackers and left them in a tray because he felt bad for the bats who are sucking us dead every night in there.
I had a little tin cup of water for
him. Bat food. I'm serious. Anyway, take it easy, Dick. That's a true story, and it's a testament to the emotion, the compassion, the feelings that this man has. He is the all-time greatest. Thank you very much, Bob.
I remember the bat.
You remember that?